Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. You are listening to the program The Teacher, an analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shia scholars. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio for today's discussion are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Mahtavi and Sheikh Ziyaniya. Sheikh Mahtavi, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Sheikh Ziyaniya, assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
For today's discussion, we want to be concerned with one of the most outstanding Shiite dignitaries and scholars of the Islamic Hausa of the city of Najaf, but originally from Iran and Isfahan. He is no one but the late Ayatollah Muhammad Hussein Qaravi Isfahani, mainly known as Kompani. Okay, Sheikh Ziyaniya, let's be a little bit concerned with the early life of this outstanding man from your tongue.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Late Muhammad Hussein Qaravi Isfahani, originally from Nakhchivan, a city nowadays in the country of Azerbaijan.
Okay.
They moved from, grandparents, they moved from Azerbaijan into Tabriz and then to Isfahan. And he was born in the second day of Muharram in the year of 1296, according to lunar calendar, in the city of Najaf. And his father was a great merchant,
yes,
a successful one,
okay,
and they were really wealthy. Because his father was a good merchant, it was really normal that he wanted his son to follow his way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he insisted on this, that...
You become a merchant, huh? The son becomes a merchant like
him. I want you to follow my way and to become a good merchant.
And usually in the marketplace, in the old past, you know, generation after generation.
Yeah, even nowadays.
Yes. Okay. Continue the path of the father.
Yes.
Okay.
But Muhammad Hussein wanted to follow another way and to go into the Islamic field and study in Islamic studies and become a mujtahid in
to
this
enter
field.
The Hausa, in fact. Okay.
They were living in Kadhimayn.
Yes.
A city close to Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that, he himself quotes that, I was a teenager at the age of 13, more or less, and we were in the shrine of Imamain al-Kadhimayn, alayhi as-salam. And I was thinking about this point that I wish that my father was satisfied with me to go to Islamic seminary. And as more as I had talked to him, he had rejected me. And I saw my father is talking to one of his friends about, you know, his business. And we were at the courtyard of the shrine. And he says that suddenly I looked at the tomb of the shrine of Imamain al-Kadhimayn alayhi as-salam. And I talked to Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salatu wasalam and told him that you are the ocean of grace. And may you soften the heart of my father toward me to let me go to... Islamic seminary in Najaf.
Okay.
And he says, when I prayed in my heart to Imam alayhi salam, after my praying, he says that my father turned his face toward me and told me, Muhammad Hussein, if you want to go to Najaf al-Ashraf, it's okay. You may go there and study. And he says that I have achieved this chance by the grace of Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salatu wasalam.
Alhamdulillah. Very good.
And he was a good, student of Marhum Akhund Khurasani. That was the biggest name at that time in the sky of Najaf, that there were many, scholars over there, but Akhund Khurasani was the one who was the most prominent scholar, especially in Ilm al-Usul al-Fiqh.
That's right.
And Mahum Muhammad Hussein Qaravi Isfahani participated at the course of Kharij Usul al-Fiqh for 13 years at the highest level of this course.
That's right.
And he says that I just was absent for two sessions during these 13 years.
Oh.
And this is really important.
You know, he did not miss any class or courses, any
at all.
Only for two ceremonies. Okay, that's right.
And about his students, he delivered great ones like Marhum Bahjat, rahmatullah alayhi, Marhum Allama Tabatabai, rahmatullah alayhi, Marhum Khuyi, rahmatullah alayhi, and many other scholars that the Shia school of thought have got benefit from them so much.
Okay, that's all right. And beside the scholarly life, spiritually speaking, and mystically speaking, he was very much developed. This is maybe one overlooked aspect of the life of the late Ayatollah Muhammad Hussein Qalevi Isfahani, isn't it, Sheikh Matavi?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. For sure, what you said is completely correct. For this, you may quote the actually saying of Ayatollah Bahjat, saying that when you look at his life, you would say he is doing nothing except suluk and ibadah. And when you would look at his scholarly life, you would say he is doing nothing except studying lessons, usul, fiqh, philosophy, and this and that. Why? Because of his comprehensiveness in all aspects of the religion and science. As my brother mentioned, when you look at his students, you can understand, okay, regarding the philosophy, we have Allama Tabatabai as his student. Okay. Regarding the usul, we have Ayatollah Khuyi as his student. Okay. All of these are grand ayatollahs and asatis.
For the Irfani one, we got Ayatollah Bahjat.
Okay. Yeah, from the actually Irfani aspect, you can see Ayatollah Bahjat as his student. Why? Because he benefited from Mirza Javad Aghai Maliki Tabrizi, who was the direct student of Mullah Hussain Qalevi Hamadani. Right. That's this path that in one of the program we talked about that a bit more. Even besides all of these, when we look at his actually literature, specifically in Farsi, we will find him a great poet.
Okay.
And specifically the poetry that he has composed regarding the Ahlul Bayt.
But we can call it a kind of commitment literature or adabiyat muta'ahid or ta'ahud, but this is a kind of religious Shiite, we can say, committed poet, Muhammad Hussain Qalevi Isfahani.
That even nowadays, many people who are reciting the matam in the majalis, they are benefiting from his deep poetries and poems. Okay. For example, if I just wanted to pick sentence or one actually part of one of the poetry regarding Hazrat Zahra, in Farsi he's saying that muftaqira matabru az dar u be hich su zan ke mes wujud ra fizze u tala konad. In English, so for the first part it is easy to be translated. Yes. So it says muftaqira, oh, the one who is poor.
Of course, muftaqir was his poetic name too.
Yes.
Muftaqir was his takhallus, the poetic takhallus, that's right.
Yes. So matabru, do not turn away from the gate of whom. So in the second part, the way he is explaining this second part is really, really metaphoric and beautiful. Why? Because he is using the names of three metals, copper, silver, and gold. Okay. And this is a very nice story, and everybody is familiar with this struggle. All of the scientists that they were after changing copper into gold through different ways.
Okay. So and the value that he will find. Yes. That's right. Okay.
So he's taking this actually metaphor and put it in his poetry by saying that. We know that what was the name of the servant of Hazrat Zahra? Fidda.
Okay.
This fidda in Arabic means silver. So he's saying that do not turn away your face from the gate of a person whose servant named silver, better to say fidda.
Fidda, okay.
Not she herself, her servant, to which level they may arrive or they may reach. So they are capable of turning the copper into gold. Not they themselves. You don't need to get to them. Even their servants are...
The person who works for them has got such a high status. Yeah.
So in the second part, he's saying that zan ke mese vujud ra fizze u tala konad. Her fizze, meaning that her silver or her servant, better to say it this way,
referring to
will
name.
Change your copper
into gold.
Into gold.
So it shows the way he is benefiting from this nice metaphor that everybody will understand it in every language, because everybody is familiar with this story, as I said, changing copper into gold. Okay. So he's saying that this, the gate of Ahlul Bayt, specifically Hazrat Zahra, salamullah alayha, her servant has been granted such power.
Okay. And most of his divan or the poetic collections, you know, and all of it include the poems about Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah, as I said, most of the Radud,
yes,
or those who are reciting Matam in the Majalis, they are benefiting from his poetry.
Divan-e Kompani, mainly known as the poetic collections of the late Muhammad Hussein Garavi Isfahani. Okay, Sheikh, just talk a little bit about this, the other aspects of this, called the life of Muhammad Hussein Garavi Isfahani, because beside Mirza Naini and Agha Zia Araghi, he was among the three important students of Akhund Khorasani.
Yes, as you mentioned, he was amongst these three important students of Akhund Khorasani, namely known as Three Revivers.
Yes.
And they are the ones who make the ideas of Akhund Khorasani long-lasting in the atmosphere of Islamic seminaries, even both in Najaf and in Qom.
Yes.
And those are the ones who nurtured students through the school of thought of Akhund Khorasani and transferred the ideas of Akhund Khorasani in a way that these students also transferred these ideas all over the Islamic seminaries, either in Iraq, Iran, and also Lebanon, Hijaz, and different parts of the world.
Producing any specific work in this regard, you said?
Yes. For example, Marhum Muhammad Hussein Garavi Isfahani authored the book Nihayat al-Diraya, that is one of the most important commentaries on the book Kifayat al-Usul.
Okay.
And I should note this point also, that Marhum Muhammad Hussein Garavi Isfahani was interested in philosophy, Islamic philosophy, and hikmah also. Yes. And I don't know, intentionally or unintentionally, he used the philosophical ideas in Usul al-Fiqh. And that's why when you refer to Nihayat al-Diraya, it's not easy to understand this book.
Okay.
You know, some new ideas are mentioned in this book that, you know, normal students are not having an easy task to understand.
Okay.
And
But you mean by philosophy is not the philosophy in terms of the Western definition.
For sure not.
But the hikmah one, the rational sciences, you mean, isn't it?
Yes.
The mental.
Or we may call it hikmatul muta'aliyah, or hikmah that is transferred to us through Mullah Sadra, the great philosopher or hakim in Islamic studies. He has also other books beside Nihayat al-Diraya, like Al-Usul ala Nahj al-Hadith, Al-Ijtihad wa-Taqlid wa-Al-Adala, or Juzatun fi-Sawm, and Al-Anwar al-Qudsiyya, and some other books.
Okay.
And he was at the end of his life, I mean the ending years of his life, he came to a new method in Ilm al-Usul al-Fiqh and decided to compile a book according to his new method.
Okay.
But unfortunately, his life was ended up and he couldn't find this chance to complete that book.
And truly, as you said, the generation of his students, including Ayatollah Bahjat, Allama Tawatabai, Ayatollah Khoui, completed, I think, most of his unfinished works, it's better to say. Even Allama Amini, really a fruitful life the late Muhammad Hussein Garavi Isfahani had. Okay, that's all right. Okay, any missed point?
Maybe we mentioned this memory of Ayatollah Bahjat as a final remark of our program for today, that Ayatollah Bahjat is saying that he was insisting on recitation of Ziyarat al-Ashura every day. Mm-hmm. And to the moment that he was in Najaf, he would go to the holy shrine of Imam Ali and would recite Ziyarat Ashura while standing. Mm-hmm. And every day he would do the prayer of Ja'far Tayyar and recitation of Surat Al-Qadr. So he was also showing humbleness to the people who were participating in the majalis of Ahlul Bayt. That's he would serve the tea on his own. Oh. So this is a really... not every marja is going to do such a thing.
As a great marja, he was serving his own guests.
Yes.
On the month of Muharram.
Okay, so because of the concern that he had for the Ahlul Bayt, that we dealt with that in the previous part. Yeah.
That's all right. Really invite our dear listeners in order to get to Divan, as I said, the poetic collections of the late Muhammad Hussein Gharavi Isfahani, fruitful in terms of religious content and the Shiite content in defense of the Ahlul Bayt and Imam al-Hussein, Hazrat Zahra, and the other members of the Infallible Imams. Muhammad Hussein Gharavi Isfahani passed away on Zulhijjah 5th, 1361, according to the lunar Hijri calendar. His body was taken into the main courtyard of the holy shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he was buried very much close to the grave of Allama Hilli over there. May Allah bless the soul of this outstanding man, Muhammad Hussein Gharavi Isfahani, mainly known as Kompani. Thank you much, Sheikh Ziaynia and Sheikh Mahtavi, for your presence in the program, The Teacher, talking about the late Ayatollah Muhammad Hussein Gharavi Isfahani. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information and to download for free our previous episodes of the program, The Teacher, visit our website at parstudio.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, you can visit our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanillah. معلم